Interestingly, the reading from Isaiah and the reading from the Gospel of Matthew begin today with seemingly very similar and yet very different stories. Isaiah is often referred to as the fifth gospel because it is the Old Testament book most quoted in the gospel books of the New Testament. Jesus began his parable about the landowner who planted a vineyard, knowing that as he began speaking, those around him would immediately think back to this story in Isaiah. And since we don't have that sort of perspective, we should perhaps take a minute to unearth what the connection is. What is Jesus drawing on from this story in Isaiah? Isaiah's story is framed as a love song. The owner of the vineyard that he loved dearly and cared for with every bit of care he could muster. He dug the vineyard in the right spot, took time to move away the stones that could inhibit the growth of the vines, planted only the best vines, and built a watchtower to assure that no thieves or predators lurked in the distance. The owner took great and tender care so that all would be well with the vineyard. But much to his surprise, the grapes that were produced were wild. How could this be? Grapevines, it seems, have a mind of their own. Jesus' parable starts out very similarly to that of Isaiah, only the love song has been replaced by a much more brutal tune. The owner in Jesus' story has taken great care in planting the vineyard. Like the vineyard owner in Isaiah, he's put up a fence, dug a wine press, built a watchtower. But then this vineyard owner leaves the vineyard in care of others. About time of the anticipated harvest, the landowner sends some of his slaves to go get his harvest. And for unknown reasons, the tenants refuse to turn over the produce. And instead, they kill the slaves. The landowner, whose judgment we are now about to hold in question, sends another group of slaves to attempt to retrieve what is rightfully his, and again, they are killed. The landowner, whose judgment we now believe to be totally impaired, sends his son. And the tenants, seeing the son's arrival as a sign that the landowner is dead, kill him as well, believing that the vineyard will now be theirs. This is a horrible story. Isaiah's is so much better. The grapes that grew wildly and out of control seem to deserve their end. The landowner has in our minds every reason to tear down the wall and let it be trampled. To heck with this vineyard gone wild. If the tender, loving care it has been given does not produce the results the grower expects, then it's fine to be done with it. He did everything he could, poor guy. And look what he got in return, a bunch of wild grapes. In Jesus' story, the cause and effect that we so love to hang on to is not so clear. There is no obvious because of this, so that. Because of what did the tenants kill two of the sets of messengers and the son? Because of greed? Because they were just bad folks? And why was this vineyard owner so willing to have so many people killed? To prove a point in a parable? And if so, what is the point? The Pharisees that were listening around the edges of the gathered crowd that day seemed to think that Jesus was throwing barbs at them in this parable, that Jesus was comparing them to the murderous tenants who had been entrusted with the vineyard, but misused their position. And there's a lot of support for that sort of thinking. Jesus gave everyone a hard time who misused that with which they had been entrusted. It seems that misusing that with which one has been entrusted is a much bigger problem for Jesus than just missing the mark. The folks who've been left in charge of the vineyard seem to have come to the understanding that the vineyard is theirs. They refuse to give up the produce and go so far as to kill messengers twice and then the son of the owner. And naturally, we see this killing of the son as a reference to Jesus' crucifixion. And that was certainly the ultimate act of those who were left to care for the vineyard, determining that the vineyard belonged to them and was not just left for their care. And we are so much more happy when we believe that the parables of Jesus are aimed at those Pharisees. Nothing like a good Pharisee problem. Thank God for the Pharisees. They make us look so much cleaner and nicer and all around better. But what if this parable is taken to another level? What if we actually believe that the parables of Jesus have bearings at all times and in all places and for all people, even us? What if we are to understand that the whole world, all of creation, is the vineyard of God, the owner? And what if we consider that we ourselves are the tenants of this vineyard to which we much love and care has been given, even before its inception? Can we imagine ourselves as those given care for that which was created in love, this world, and all that is in it? Have messengers been sent to us to remind us that the fruits of this vineyard are to be given back to the owner? If so, what have we done to those messengers? If messengers come and say to us that which we do not want to hear, how do we respond? Do we take their words to heart and ponder them like Mary did when she was told hard news by Simeon? Or do we determine to kill the messengers and keep that with which we have been entrusted all to ourselves? How do we best care for this vineyard and all that's in it? If we put up walls and barriers and cover it up tightly, no sun or rain will get in, and it will die. If we hoard it and keep it just for ourselves, the produce will rot and be wasted. The vineyard will best be cared for if we all join together in its care, not denying that there is care needed, nor trying to keep it all for ourselves, or wrapping it so tightly that the very life-giving sustenance it needs cannot get in. The vineyard is ours. We must care for it together and bring others in to share in that care. This vineyard is all creation and all that inhabit creation. Our job as the tenants is its care. Amen.